With Joshua gone, Joshua's been leading some really good lessons past few months. So I wanted to continue some of the thoughts that he had in kind of a more fun way, I hope. But before I begin, I have to confess. Joshua confessed a couple weeks ago about some issues he has with driving, and I need to confess that up here too. Continue on the tradition. Some of you may know, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you now. I start work at 4 o'clock in the morning. I am at my first stop at 4 o'clock in the morning, all over this county, different parts and so forth. There are three places that the signals drive me nuts. Driving through Pacific Beach on Ingram, driving on Broadway in Lemon Grove, and getting off of the exit of 67 at Fletcher Parkway. Why do those signals have to be 3 minutes long when there's nobody on the road? Now, granted, I have no problems listening to Ella Langley and getting her whole song in there, or maybe Lainey Wilson or Luke Bryan or Luke Combs or Brooks and Dunn. I have no problems with that. But I don't need to hear it at this signal and go to the next signal and hear the next song and then hear there and so forth. It just drives me nuts. So with that, I'm not a very patient driver. I just throw it out there. Our small group that meets here in Claremont, we've been going through the Minor Prophets. We decided that we were going to go through the Minor Prophets, and we were going to go through them individually as this book and not compare it to the Major Prophets. Dwell on this particular book. Okay, we've been going through them and so forth, and we just did Haggai on Friday. One of the things that keeps coming up is God is so patient with his people, isn't he? And the question keeps coming to me is, why? Because some of they go hundreds of years before something happens. Why? Recently, I've been reminded of patience because we just adopted 2 kittens. There they are. The black tuxedo is Onyx, and his sister is Sochi. She's named after a Formula One racetrack in Russia, and because we have another female cat, and she's named after, her name is Baku, and she's also named after a Formula One racetrack, and Onyx is named after the stone, just so you know. Those, we just got those in August, so they're about 7 months old, and we're just thrilled to death. I think the Turners understand that when I say look at the patients and so forth, because they have Liberty. Where's she? Oh, she should be here. She needs patience. You need patience. But anyways, I've been reminded of their, because I see their curiosity, their energy. But I also know that I need to apply patience with them. I need to understand their learning and so forth. Children go through various stages of learning, from selfish babies, demanding care, food, attention, nurturing, protection, to toddlers who physically and curious and leave our sides to explore their environment, but who are also continually returning for assurance, support, help, guidance to teens who question, who become intellectually curious, who demand reason, logic, who defy, test, but who also are exemplifying, mimicking, examining their parental and adult examples as mentors, coaches, guides, advisors, counselors. We all learn in stages, whether humans or animals, whether young or old. It is best illustrated with children. First, they learn about numbers. And then they assign value to them by learning to count. Growing up, they learn more, which includes addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, algebra, geometry, calculus, and whatever else comes next. You got me at division. Increasing our knowledge requires patience to embrace the next stage and build upon what we've already learned. None of us, including John Lippert, wouldn't jump into building the Eiffel Tower without knowing how two pieces of steel, wood, plastic, cement, or something, can come together to go upward. We have to know that. This is true with every profession, no matter where you're at, whatever profession it is. We start small and we grow. Chefs start by knowing the taste of foods, how heat and cold affect food, what foods supplement or improve the taste and texture of other foods. Eventually, the array of ingredients improve, upgrade, augment, and sharpen the ability and benefits of every nutrient, flavors, and substance. No matter what profession, everyone is continually learning. And yes, that is me after I graduated from culinary school. So, back when I was young. So, yeah. God expects us to be learning. He desires us to explore. Psalms 19, 1 through 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. Unlike Joshua, I'm not going to use my phone. I brought the up here. He wants us to investigate. Romans 1, 19 and 20. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so what people are without excuse. He expects us to analyze, discern, Philippians 1:9. He expects us to search, Deuteronomy 4:29 through 31, and seek, Hebrews 11:16. At the same time, he knows we will be demanding, arrogant, stubborn, curious, inquisitive, impulsive, and questioning. Yet God provides compassion, Isaiah 55, 6 through 7, protection, Zechariah 8, 20 through 23, peace, love, long-suffering, and patience. I am so glad to be able to be called a child of God. We all can say, have take comfort in knowing that God calls us children. As children, we have to learn about God. For the most part, we only have one book, the Bible. However, in our growth and knowledge, we educate ourselves by also observing other humans and by interacting with nature, which is also God's creation. Don't forget that nature was God's first creation. He put everything here before he created humans. We need to study his word in order to know God. God protected us when he created us. He did not give us all knowledge, all wisdom, all intellect, all insight. It is impossible for us to grasp all the facts about God, his accomplishments, his power, his abilities, his authority. We need to search for those, as we use in the adult class in the morning, Columbo clues. If he had given us all information, our brains would have exploded. You can go ahead and pass through those just real quick again. Okay. Even now, I'm blown away with some of the insights I have learned about God through his word. We learn in tiny bits of information and data points. We do not grasp the entirety of a subject at once. We need patience to become educated in godly wisdom and understanding. We need to continue our study of God's word and learn about God. I frequently talk about Adam and Eve when I'm talking to people and as we educate to try to get them to look at the word a little differently. And I ask a question, and some of you may have heard me say this to you. The question is, when did Eve realize she was naked? It's an important question. For those who would, you can look it up, it is after Adam ate. We seem to think she ate and noticed, but she did not. It wasn't until after. I use this because then it shows the role that both played in their ultimate expulsion, Exodus from the garden. Just recently, I learned, contrary to my own previous understanding, that Adam was not created in the garden. So where was Adam created, you might ask? Outside. In the wild, in the countryside, the forest, landscape, wilderness, however you want to describe it, that's what he did. God made man from dust. God created man, but then he decided man needed a proper home. It wasn't until after God created man that he made the garden. Yes, God made the garden for man. It is truly more magnificent than any of the earthly gardens you can imagine. And I just put five there just so you can kind of get an idea. I visited two of them. Anyways, but I've seen pictures of the others. You could Bruchard Gardens in Victoria, Canada, the Royal Botanical Gardens, or Chelsea's Flower Gardens, both in London, England. Some of you probably have visited them and seen them. Versailles in France, and even our own Balboa Park in its magnificence. The Garden of Eden was a large garden. There were four rivers. It was not, I tell you what, I would not want to take care of it. Too big, not my gig. I have hard enough taking care of my little piece of property sometimes. Yet the responsibility of taking care of the garden was placed on man. God actually showed man the desolation which existed elsewhere. And the sanctuary which man could have had protected within the garden. Man could not grasp wonder and the awe of such love had he not previously seen the wilderness where he originally was created. God planted a garden in the east of Eden, which means land of happiness, and put man whom he formed into the garden. He then entrusted the garden to man. This was a new tidbit to me that I learned just recently, and I got to understand Adam a little bit more and so forth. God had patience with me and then revealed this information to me when I was able to understand what he was saying. These are just little tidbits of understanding that help us grow. God has patience with us and teaches us in tiny tidbit morsels. Here's another couple of tidbits for you. Some of you probably got these a long time ago. I'm kind of still learning these things. Noah and his wife, had the first recorded triplets. Him, Seth, and Japheth. And you have to look at it because of the way they were recorded and so forth. At 500, he became the father of. It didn't say at 500, then 501, 502. It said at 500. Here's another one. There's another set of triplets also recorded in Genesis 11, 26. Now who? Haran and Abram, later who became Abraham, is a triplet. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't change anything, but it's just a little understanding of how the words are written down for us, and you can go again, and it says that the father became the parent at. It's just one of those things that just blows my mind sometimes. Each of us needs to study God's word and discover these tidbits for ourselves. Share them as inspiration. Read those ancient words we just sang about. Learn about our Creator. Knowledge comes in tidbits. Be patient and learn as God is patient with you. Remember, patience is not a weakness. It's a strength. Perhaps you have learned a little tidbit today and desire to have God cover you with this knowledge. We are created in God's image. The only way to find out what that spiritually looks like is to read his book so we can go and show others that they too are created in God's image and be able to speak the word to them about his love. I want to end with this one little. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The lesson's yours. If you are struggling in your life, you were baptized and now you're just kind of having issues or need prayers, we're going to stand up and sing a song here in just a second. And that song is to give you an opportunity to come up here and say, hey, I need prayers. I need help. I need to be closer to God. I need strength. I need patience. If you don't have God as your covering of Christ covering you in baptism and so forth, this is your opportunity to say, hey, I want to get baptized. There's no better day than today. The reason is because we do not have tomorrow. We don't even have the opportunity to know if I'm going to make it to that driveway. We don't have that. Only God knows when my time is up. And I put that out to you. If you need to be baptized, you need our prayers, or encouragement, or if you got something that you just want to say, hey, God has blessed me so well. That is what it is.